We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
50% righteousness.
Go ahead,
Louie.
I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
Okay, more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent form for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right. Well, I'm here by myself for a second. Good morning, Angela Yee. Good morning, DJ Envy. Charlamagne the God. Peace to the planet. Get no, it's not Wednesday. It's Thursday. Yes, it's Thursday. Angela Yee is broadcasting from the crib, so we're having some technical difficulties with her. Charlamagne, he believes the show starts at 6:02, so he'll be here in about 60 seconds. Good morning, everybody. How you guys feeling? Yee, can you hear me? No, she can't hear me. All right. Well, yes, it's Thursday. And let me shout out to all the roller skaters out there. So Tuesday, of course, was my wife's birthday, but I wanted to do a surprise, so I couldn't do it on her birthday. So we did it on 2/2/22, which was last night. We had a roller skating party. I invited her closest friends and family and you know, just our circle. And it was pretty dope. So because of COVID, you could only have a small amount of people. Hey, here's Charlamagne. You could only have a small amount of people. So we had about, I would say about maybe 75 to 100 people last night at the roller skating rink. We had a surprise for my wife. And when I say I am beat up and sore, I haven't roller skated like that in at least since I was a kid. And man, when I say I am sore, I feel like I fought Mike Tyson. I mean,
how the hell you know what it feel like to fight Mike Tyson?
This is what it would feel like. This is what it would feel like, the way I feel right now. I mean, every part of my body is sore. But I had such an amazing time. It was an 80s and 90s theme. Shout out to DJ Louis V. He DJed last night. And we just had a great time. Just family, friends, just roller skating. So it was pretty dope. She had a good time. We had like a little 80s, 90s tables where we had quarter water. We had Nerds. We had Ring Pops, Blow Pops. We had all the candies from that era. You name it, we had that type of candy.
Well, you should have bought some for us, goddammit.
I actually have a lot.
Bring some. Why you ain't bring none for us?
You on a diet. You on a diet.
That's on a diet.
So, we had an amazing
y'all
time.
Y'all started the show on time?
Yes, man. Oh. The show starts at 6, not 6.
I
told everybody. I said, Charlamagne will be here in 60 seconds. The show starts at 6:02. And I was right. But yeah, but shout out to everybody that came out last night. Had a great time. And roller rink is called Branch Roller Rink. Is in Newark. And when I say it's probably one of the best roller skating rinks I've been to in the last, I don't even know how long. I mean, the roller skating rink is top level.
Tell the people in Florence, South Carolina, where Newark is. What is Newark?
They know Newark, New Jersey.
You don't know. I don't know that.
They know Newark, New Jersey.
We may not.
Yeah, but it was in Newark, New Jersey, and it was such an amazing time. So shout out to everybody that came out. Had a great time. Shout out to Newark, New Jersey for allowing us to have it in the center. It was just a great time. And happy birthday to my baby boo.
And listen, man, today we have a great show for you today. We have the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ms. Marsha Fudge, will be joining us this morning.
Marsha Fudge, we're going to be talking about housing and urban development, where people live, and making sure that the standards are better, and making sure that we can invest in our own community, invest in our own areas. And we're going to talk about all that.
A lot of housing discrepancy out here, and a lot of big fish keeping all the little fish out.
Correct.
A lot of these big corporations, you know, buying up all the properties, man, and pushing out, you know, people who can't afford them. So we're going to discuss all of that.
Yes, we are. So we'll get into that in a little bit in front page news. Yeah, you there? All right, she's still not there. We'll figure it out when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club.
No, we won't.
Yes, we will. We got to figure it out. All right, we're going to see how this goes. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Good morning.
Let's get in some front page news.
Too much going on. I know that much.
Now, Yee is having technical difficulties. So, usually she does front page news. So, they just put it in front of my face. Let's figure this out. All right. Former Dolphins coach Brian Flores.
Oh, man.
He was talking to everybody yesterday, and he speaks out against the NFL, and these are some of the things that he said.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. You were working too hard. You were doing too much in the effort to win. He was trying to get you to do a little bit less and said, I'll give you $100,000 for every game
exactly
you lose.
Exactly that. That's just not in my DNA. That was never going to happen. I didn't come here. Look, I'm always going to try to win. That's who I am. And I owe that to the players in the locker room, but also the support staff that's in the building. And I felt like we were building that type of culture. I would never do that to them, you know. And at the end of the day, I think it was the reason why I'm no longer there.
That's him talking about the fact that he's alleging that the owner of the Dolphins tried to pay him to throw games?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. Now, he also talks about the Broncos interview, right?
You state that in an interview that you had with them that John Elway and another Broncos official showed up an hour late, looked disheveled. It was obvious to you they had been drinking heavily the night before the interview.
Yeah.
You say it became clear they only were interviewing you to fulfill the provisions of the Rooney Rule. What specifically can you remember about that interview?
So I've had 9 interviews with NFL clubs. There's been one interview where anyone was late. They'd been out the night before. I think that's the reason why. But, you know, I certainly did not feel like I was taken seriously, and that I was just there as a Rooney Rule.
Now, flip that, right?
What?
Imagine if he came in disheveled after a night of, you know, a drinking or whatever it was. How would the people who were interviewing him look at him? So you have to understand how he feels being interviewed.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean? The interviewer has to respect the interview as much as the interviewee, I would think.
Yeah, now, also, he talks about if he can be in the league again, if he think he'll actually be coaching in the league again.
I'm for anyone whose goal is to create change. And, you know, I back that. I understand the risks, and I want to coach. I'm gifted to coach. I love coaching. I'm passionate about it. And I'm hopeful that I will coach again.
Yeah, psychologically, this has to be the worst because, you know, we all can see the racial bias that exists within the NFL coaching ranks. I mean, it's right there, right? It's right there. We all can see it. It's one, you know, black coach in the league right now, but you have to prove it.
Absolutely.
And how do you prove it? Even though we can all see the racial bias, it's right there, but how do you prove it in a court of law? They can tell you it's all these other things, which is like a weird form of gaslighting, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well. And I hate to see black people fight to be in spaces we are merely tolerated in. That's the other thing that just grinds my gears.
Grinds your gears?
Grinds my gears.
All right. Well, we'll get more into that next hour. That's your front page.
It's too much going
news.
On, man.
You there yet? No, she's still not there.
I don't think he's on. Is he at work today?
Yeah, we spoke to her for a second.
Oh, okay.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051.
Why does our engineer have on an EMS shirt? Jeff, why do you have on an EMS shirt? Are you double? I know iHeart makes the people do double duties, but damn.
Yes. Just in case. Somebody got to give you mouth to mouth.
All right.
giving him mouth to mouth.
iHeart makes us do a lot of different jobs, but Jesus Christ. Engineer and EMS, drop on the clues bombs for Jeff, man. All purpose.
All purpose. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, it's Anonymous, man.
Anonymous, what up? Get it off your chest.
Yes, man, I had this ex, man. We was together like 4 years, 5 years, man. We ended up breaking up. She ended up jumping out the car on me, man, and hitting me with the tuck and roll. And like right now, I'm fighting it in court. She ended up moving to California from everything happened in Memphis, Tennessee, you know. But she ended up moving to California on me, and right now I'm fighting the case and I'm facing 20 years probation. At least that was the first plea bargain or whatever.
What's the case? They saying you threw her out the car?
Yeah, allegedly they saying that I pushed her out and hit her.
Wow.
Is that what she's alleging? You saying they. Is that what she's alleging?
No, that's what the police officer said. She never gave a statement. She never said anything. She just up and ran to California trying to run from it. She even wrote a letter back to the district attorney, prosecutor, and everything else. I don't know what to do, Charlamagne.
That's wild. Hey. How can they just put that on you like that, brother?
Thank you, bro. I mean, I'm in a small town. I mean, I'm in the South, you know, and it's a real secluded area. And then on top of that, big cluster, she's pregnant.
Wow. From you?
Yeah, cause like, you know, I ended up moving from, like, she moved in July. She moved July the 6th. I moved July the 11th. She moved to Cali. I moved to Vegas from Memphis. We've been off and on since then, you know, for like August, October, November, December. And then, you know, even last month, you know, we still have consensual sex or whatever.
Yeah, I don't see how that can hold up in court. If she's saying you didn't hit her, if she's saying you didn't throw out the car, and y'all still have a relationship, and she's pregnant now, I don't see how that would hold up in court.
I know in some places the court could actually, the city could press the charges, and it seems that's what happens, that happened there.
And that's what's happening now.
But how can they, I'm trying to figure out how could they press charges, though? Like, what evidence do they have to press charges?
Especially on domestic cases like that, if they feel like maybe the woman or the man doesn't want to press charges because they are in a relationship, so they press charges, and then he has to go to court. Well, good luck, brother.
I hope you're telling us the whole story.
He has to go to court and prove it, man.
I can't wish you good luck or anything, because I don't know the whole story.
Hello, who's this?
Just praying for the best, for both parties.
This is Kay.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest.
Peace and blessings, first of all. What really grinds my gears is when my students do not turn in their assignments on time.
Oh, man.
I tell them all the time we have a date for a reason. If I don't pay my water bill on time, they're cutting my water off. And then we get to progress reports and report card time, and they ask them, what can I do to bring my grade up? Maybe the work that I gave you in the first place. I mean,
well, what assignment was it? What assignment was it?
I worked in a long-term position at my middle school that I actually went to. So I'm in a math class right now, and it's math assignments. Mind you, I go through all of the problems step by step. Some of them don't even copy them down. So it's like, why am I wasting my time?
I totally can see why that grinds your gears.
I love it.
Now let's be honest. When you were in school, did you do all your assignments on time?
I mean, even if I didn't, I copied from one of my friends and made sure I turned it in.
No, I'm with you. I mean, you're saying that they're not even turning the work in, period.
Yes, Charlamagne. I went to Stratford.
Hey, me too.
Yes.
Oh, well, now we understand why.
Anytime in the main hallway, I didn't have my homework. I copied from one of my friends who actually did their work. You have to be connected.
Oh, my.
Yeah, goodness. My mom taught at Stratford. When I got kicked out of Berkeley High School, they let me go to Stratford High School. And then I ended up getting arrested out of Stratford High School.
All right.
I lived the life.
Good morning.
I lived the life. High school was a rough time for me.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, DJ.
Can you take the phone out of your mouth, please, sir? Can you take the phone out of your mouth?
It's not in my mouth.
Wow.
I can't hear you. We can't hear you. Sound muffled, sir.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes.
All right. First off, DJ, I want to tell your wife happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
My birthday is actually today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy born day, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And, you know, I just want to tell everybody, you know, have a good day, bro. It's good to be able to wake up another year, you know?
So you damn right.
Tell everybody, have a good day, you know, be positive and keep that energy up, man. Just get through the day.
Appreciate your born day. Take a deep breath for everybody who can't, brother.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, Evie?
What up, Trav?
Yee, what's up, boo?
Hey, Trav.
She can't hear you. She's not connected yet.
Oh, she's not connected yet. What's up, Sean?
Peace, King. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to talk about two things real quick, right? One, Bullying the Beast live show is this Saturday. I want to make sure everybody come out and support that. Come see my girls, L'Oreal and Wax. Well, Wax not my girl, but come see Wax.
Wax can be your girl if you want him to be.
Whoa.
Don't play with Wax like that, Joe. And I want to talk about, so I've been maturing over the last year, right? And I'm finally ready to forgive somebody for what they did to me.
Who
I feel like Onika, I'm finally ready for you to apologize to me, oh. Nicki Minaj.
Oh, shut
for
up.
How you treated, for how you, no, I'm finally ready for her to apologize to me for how she blocked me for no reason on Instagram. And I used to support her heavily.
I'm sure so, Nicki had a reason.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, she didn't. I mean, I didn't really do nothing that to
you. Said something block. Slick out your mouth, I'm sure.
I used to be a supporter of her. So, Nicki, I'm ready. Whenever
no,
ready.
But what did you say, Trav? What did you say or tweet or do that made her block you? Be honest.
Listen, I have grown.
No, tell me what you did.
I don't even want to bring it up because, no, listen, she was going through some things around that time.
What does your Uncle Sharla always tell you, man? You cannot tell people how to react to you. We have this thing in our mind that we say something, and because we don't think it's malicious or we don't think it's offensive, we think the other person shouldn't receive it that way. But we can't tell people how to receive something. So if you whatever you said and she blocked you, she probably had every right to block you.
Sure. When I'm out here telling her I'm ready for her to apologize to me, my ship is... Bye.
Goodbye. And you know what? Also, let me shout out to Skate Fanatics out in Cali, Los Angeles. They're a black-owned skate company that actually builds, designs, and puts together skates. And when I hit them up and said I was doing a party, they sent the skates that I needed, like, in 2 days. So if you ever need skates, you're thinking about getting your kids into roller skating or rollerblading, check out Skate Fanatics, black-owned company, minority-owned company that gets busy with the skate. So I want to thank you. Thanks to those brothers out in California.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yee's not here.
I thought maybe she was connected. All right, we'll figure out what's happening next. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Michael K. Williams.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, four men were charged yesterday with federal charges in the overdose death of Michael K. Williams. So, of course, we heard the awful story about the fentanyl-laced heroin that led to his overdose back in September. Federal prosecutors said that they sold the cocaine laced with fentanyl in plain view and stashed them behind garbage cans. So these men are Irvin Cartagena, Hector Robles, Luis Cruz, and Carlos Machi. They're each charged with narcotics conspiracy for distributing that fentanyl-laced heroin.
How do they always find the fentanyl dealers? Is there microchips in the fentanyl or something, like tracking devices? Like, how are they always able to track down the fentanyl dealers?
Well,
I'm sure somebody snitches.
When somebody dies, I guess they really go hard to look. And then one of them had, like... Because you don't want other people to die from that too.
Yeah, I know. I just want to know how. Like, how do they track down the fentanyl dealers? Like, especially when it's just, you know, street level guys selling hand to hand. Like, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you're a dealer, I'm sure you probably use the same person over and over again, right? You don't go from dealer to dealer.
Yeah, you check phone records.
Yeah.
And somebody hooked you up with that person.
Absolutely.
Now, they said, according to this federal complaint, one of them, Cartagena, had sold drugs to undercover informants for months prior to Michael K. Williams' death.
So they sold.
And the three other defendants were also known by their street names and other names, according to the Fed. So they have been being watched for quite some time.
Yeah, but it just seems they would sell it for months to other people. You know what I mean? It's like, when do you go in to arrest them if they're selling it? You know what I mean? And it's laced and they know it's laced. So why wouldn't they arrest them?
And you know they're killing people.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what I mean? What are they waiting for?
I guess they're building a case.
And they continued to sell these drugs at residential buildings in Brooklyn and Manhattan, even after finding out that their stash allegedly killed Michael K. Williams.
It sounds like you cooking crack right now.
You're definitely popping. Sorry, listen, we've had some connection issues this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay?
Yep, go ahead.
All right, now Issa Rae is offering her L.A. home on Airbnb for $56 a day for Valentine's Day weekend. That'd be a nice little present. She's teaming up with Airbnb to do that. Now, bookings will open February 8th at 1 p.m. for one stay at $56 a night. And the idea is to spotlight L.A.'s Black culture. She's referring to herself as a proud South L.A. native. So people get to spend a weekend in her hometown, experience the culture, businesses, and communities that influence her storytelling on screen.
That's dope. Yeah, Airbnb been doing that a lot. They've been doing that for colleges, too, HBCU. So if there's somebody that's a celebrity that went to a certain college, they're renting out their old room. So I think it's pretty dope with that Airbnb.
Imagine going through that with one of those forensic lights after that weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
The stains you
all right.
What?
And Rudy Giuliani, his reveal on The Masked Singer has caused the judges to actually walk off the stage. He participated in The Masked Singer, and some of them were extremely displeased. According to Deadline, Giuliani was unmasked during a taping of the show's first episode last week, and judges Ken Jeong and Robin Thicke walked off the stage in protest, and they said Giuliani was on his way out as he was an exiting costume contestant.
What the hell they had Rudy Giuliani on there doing? Rudy Giuliani can barely form a sentence.
Yeah, he was singing?
He was rapping.
We don't have audio of that.
I can't believe this.
I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, I would love to see that.
He's on the new season.
Yeah.
All right. And Whoopi Goldberg is allegedly livid and threatening to quit after The View suspended her over her claim that the Holocaust was not about race. And she's telling coworkers that she's going to quit the show. They said she feels humiliated at being disciplined by ABC executives after she followed their advice to apologize. Not only did she apologize, she also had on the head of the Anti-Defamation League
Jonathan
on the
Greenblatt.
Show as well to discuss this. So here was what happened on The View the next day.
I feel
being black, when we talk about race, it's a very different thing to me. Mm-hmm. So I said that I felt that the Holocaust wasn't about race, but I thought it was a salient discussion because as a black person, I think of race as being something that I can see. So I see you and I know what race you are. And the discussion was about how I felt about that. I felt that it was really more about man's inhumanity to man and how horrible people can be to people. And we're seeing it manifest itself these days. Mm. I respect everything everyone is saying to me. And I you know, I don't want to fake apologize, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if that story is true, but I can see it. I mean, Whoopi was wrong. She apologized. Like you just said, she had Jonathan Greenblatt on. He corrected her. He even said that Whoopi shouldn't be canceled. She should be counseled. So for her to get suspended for 2 weeks, I think it's because of something else going on at ABC that we don't know about. I don't think that 2-week suspension is just a direct reflection of this. Maybe it could be, but because you never know how someone is going to react when they are offended. But I feel like it's something deeper at ABC.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like her remarks were intended to be malicious. It just feels like she misspoke. And then right afterwards, she apologized. And then she, the next day on the show, did some educational work and to gather some understanding. And so I do feel like that 2 weeks is unwarranted.
That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like it's deeper than that.
I agree.
And I wonder if Whoopi also feels betrayed, not just by ABC, but by the Jewish community. Because she's always been an open supporter of the Jewish community. It's no secret she took the stage name Goldberg because she believed it would get her, you know, farther along in the game. And yesterday I was reading an interview she did with the Jewish Chronicle. And when she spoke at a charity event, she said, "I just know I am Jewish." And she said Goldberg derives from her family heritage. And she said she has a real connection with Israel. So I wonder if it's, you know, a part of her that just feels betrayed by that community as well. Like, how could you ever label her anti-Semitic? I just wonder.
Yeah, they said she's been a lifelong ally to the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most people in the Jewish community think that she's some type of enemy. All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
That's wild. Think about it. You just said that most people probably, well, you know what? Let me know.
Hey, I just keep telling y'all, you can't tell someone how to receive something.
You just said that she's an ally, but mm-hmm. then she misspoke. She apologized. You said she's an ally, but you still suspend her?
Well, it's ABC that suspended her. That's my point. It's like, that's why I feel like it's something deeper at ABC. Because, like I said, the head of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, said she should not be canceled. She should be counseled. So if it's ABC that suspended her, I feel like it's something deeper at the network.
Right. Oh, and earlier we were talking about Michael K. Williams and tracking down these dealers. One of my friends who's a sergeant just texted me and said, we tracked down fentanyl and all heroin dealers by packaging. Most dealers have signature packaging of their products like Blue Magic.
Blue Magic.
A lot of ways to track dealers. But they said if someone dies, we go harder. We have an overdose team that's dedicated and focused to the dealers and users upon death.
So American Gangster was real.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, because, you know, it's certain packs for certain things, but you should ask your friend if they knew they was selling fentanyl, why didn't they pick them up immediately? It might have saved that man's life. You know what I mean? Because if they know they're sending that poison to the community mm-hmm. and that poison being laced, why didn't they just snatch them up immediately? I don't know why. I'm just asking. Just curious.
Okay.
I thought that was just sensationalized for the movie.
No.
It really had packaging. Why y'all branding yourself?
Yeah, it's well, same thing like weed. You know, weed got different.
It's packages. Different. It's legal now. Come on.
But before
stop.
It was legal, it still had different
names. It just had different names. It didn't say Bubblegum Kush on the package.
Nah, but like Cookies is a brand that you people would go
that's
to.
Illegal.
It's like marketing.
But before
it's
legal.
Basically, but it's still
that.
Marketing.
It's marketing.
Still marketing for a brand. That's what it is.
Yeah, it might not be legal. Know,
drug dealers shouldn't be branding themselves is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Okay?
But
drug
they do. Dealers that's how they get customers.
Themselves. Okay? Drug dealers got better marketing plans than the Democrats.
They got better marketing plans than most regulators.
That's right.
All right. Front page news next. What are we talking about?
The Army is going to immediately start discharging vaccine refusers.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
The General Insurance is a quality insurance company that has been saving people money for nearly 60 years. What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. And you should take a closer look at The General. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions.
WWPR FM HD1 New York.
An iHeartRadio station.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, let's get into front page news. What are we talking about, Yeezy?
Well, the Army said yesterday they will immediately begin discharging soldiers who refuse to get the mandatory COVID vaccine. So that is putting more than 3,300 service members at risk of being thrown out soon. Now, they said roughly 90% of all Army soldiers have gotten at least one shot. More than 3,000 have requested medical or religious exemptions.
That's horrible. What if you're a veteran and, you know, you done went off to some foreign country to, you know, protect this land and, you know, protect our rights. And now all of a sudden you're getting kicked out because you don't want to get a shot.
What if you're another country? You'd be like, you know what? I'll triple what the U.S. is giving you. Come over here and fight for here. Yeah, you don't need a shot. That's wild. All right, wait till we go to war. Then I bet you that changes.
I cannot believe that y'all was telling us all these people was essential was 2 years ago. I really can't. That is so crazy. That's why you're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are. Always remember that, people.
Mm-hmm. All right, and five persons of interest in the HBCU bomb threat investigation have been identified. And according to officials, the persons of interest were connected to spoofed calls, and they came from a fake telephone number. And no bombs have been found. But in the past few days, there were over 20 bomb threats to HBCUs and other institutions, by the way. And several of the schools did end up canceling classes because of the concerns.
They got to take it serious because you never know what somebody's capable of doing. I mean, you keep saying it and they'd be like, oh, it's just a fake one. And then until that real one happens, you know.
But you kind of knew that after you heard them happen a few times. Like, you like it's somebody playing, but then you still got to take it serious.
Absolutely.
And then the conspiracy theory start. I'm not going to say who, but somebody hit me yesterday and somebody was like, this is all because of what Deion Sanders is doing at Jackson State.
No,
I'm like, what?
Shut up, man.
I'm not going to say who that person was.
Who was that person?
He might have been my father, but don't worry about it.
If it was your dad, I believe him. I believe him.
Yeah, some people also are looking at it like it's the start of Black History Month and clearly is some racism going on. All right. Now, a woman has reported being groped in virtual reality late last year and has come forward to discuss her horrifying experience in the metaverse. She said, within 60 seconds of joining, I was verbally and sexually harassed. 3 to 4 male avatars with male voices essentially, but virtually gang raped my avatar and took photos as I tried to get away. They yelled, don't pretend you didn't love it. And go rub yourself off to the photo. Nina Jane Patel recalled this in a Medium post, and she recounted the nightmare that she experienced as a beta tester on the VR platform Horizon Worlds, created by Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook. She said, a horrible experience that happened so fast, and before I could even think about putting the safety barrier in place. So they did report this back in December. Harassment in the metaverse, they said, is a serious issue that the industry needs to come together on to put in place the correct security controls and safety measures. This will continue to be problematic for both men and women adults as our world fast moves from the 2D internet as we know it into the 3D internet space.
And it's only going to get worse. One day y'all going to stop treating me like I'm Rafiki and the Lion King. I told y'all Meta Me Too was coming.
So wait a minute. She didn't get raped in real life. She got raped in fake life.
In the metaverse.
In the metaverse.
And you can't turn it off?
In virtual reality. She said she wasn't able to put the safety precautions in place. She was beta testing.
I told
y'all
this was going to happen.
They need to make sure that people are protected.
So wait a minute.
I told y'all this was going to happen. Could you please not?
I'm just a question.
I don't want you to. I don't want you to. I just don't want you to. I don't want you to.
Okay.
But I told y'all this was
going to happen. And psychologically, I'm sure this was really difficult to have to endure something like this.
And by the way, people going to start getting locked up for that, and this is really going to be like my... I don't know if y'all ever seen that movie Minority Report where they used to lock people up for what they thought about doing. This is going to start happening. They're going to start locking people up for stuff like this in real life. Watch.
But it's not real, though. It's fake.
And
is it?
They say it's the thought that counts, right? So you playing around on that metaverse and you doing that. Watch. You're going to start getting locked up in real life. Mark my words.
Yeah, because think about it. Envy, you have children. You wouldn't want them going to like a concert in the metaverse and then somebody is like harassing them there because it's like you're using the 3D, you know, it's like you're there in virtual
reality.
None of this
is gonna end well, man.
So do you arrest them?
You want to protect people.
They're going to start getting arrested. I guarantee you they're going to start arresting people for this in real life. It's going to be just like Minority Report when you used to get locked up for what you thought about doing. Watch. Watch.
I have so many questions, but all right.
It's none of this is going
well.
All
right, well, that is your front page news.
None of this is going
probably
well.
If you go in the metaverse, if you've ever been in there, you can understand what it's like more.
No, I mean, I've been in there, but it's can you arrest somebody for, it's not, I guess it's raping the metaverse?
You know what? You're making too many excuses. You know
I'm
what's going to happen?
Question.
It's going to be a bunch of people that build avatars and they're going to pinch Envy's butt. What's your name in the metaverse?
It's called avatars, but go ahead.
Whatever. What's your name in the metaverse?
I'm not telling you.
Well, we're going to find you. They're going to find you. Watch. Mark my words.
I'm just asking. I'm
mark
curious.
Mark my words.
All right. All right. Well, when we come back, Marsha Fudge will be joining us. She's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and we're going to kick it with her next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dang. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
We have the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Marsha Fudge. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you feeling today?
I feel wonderful.
Well, you have a lot of work to do.
I do, but I've been looking forward to this.
Okay.
Well, for people that don't know, what is the job of the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development?
Primarily, our mission is to make sure that people, especially underserved communities, get decent housing. It's mm-hmm. just really that simple. In addition to which, we are the voice of cities across America because we are the people who provide Black grant dollars, home dollars, all of the things that help them create an environment in which people can live safely in their own community. So in a nutshell, that's really pretty much it.
This is the position that Ben Carson had prior to you, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so he created the Opportunity Zones mm-hmm. while he was there. What do you think about that? Because I've heard conflicting accounts of whether or not that's beneficial for...
I think it has a potential to be beneficial. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it was probably used to its best and highest use. And so as a consequence, people who were the big developers and the people who had the big money got all the money. Mm-hmm. As opposed to making sure that it did what it was intended to do, which was to make sure that people had an opportunity to create jobs and to do development in their communities and not just have people come in with the biggest dollar.
It didn't necessarily help Black people. It helped people who had money that was able to get some of those tax breaks and opportunity zones. So at first, everybody
Correct.
Thought it was just for Black people. Oh, Black no. people, but it was for Mm-mm. people to get breaks, and I didn't think it was great for our people because usually we're the ones that don't have the money.
It's people well, who could afford to invest.
You sound like Mr.
Invest.
Clyburn. That's what Mr. Clyburn felt
no,
too.
You said it in a way that you just said it nicer than what I said it.
Yep, same thing.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We did not benefit from the Opportunity Zones in a way that we should have. Very few people did. They didn't create a lot of jobs. And we didn't get the resources that we should have.
So how do you fix it moving forward, or do you abandon it?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that we do the assessment that we are now doing to determine how we can make it better. I think that once you have something like that that has the potential to really help our people, then you don't just throw it out.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the first time. Like they had legislation like that before, right? It just wasn't called Opportunity Zone.
Right. It was called Empowerment Zone.
Empowerment
Zone.
It was
kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
But empowerment zones were really very different because at the time we made sure that people in our communities received those resources.
Mm-hmm.
You will find Black businesses today that will say to you that they became millionaires because of empowerment zones. We've not created any Black millionaires from the federal government in a very long time.
Mm.
And so we have to find a way to increase not just the opportunity, but we have to be intentional about making sure that Black people get a piece of the pie. So as we look at what we do at HUD, and we're looking at this now across all of government, we're increasing at least by 50% the participation in our purchasing. It's going to be $100 billion over the next 5 years. And we're making sure that our people get a piece of that pie. And that's what I think all of it should be about.
How are we making sure of that?
Well, because we have been instructed, directed actually by the president to increase our purchasing with small and minority-owned businesses. When you think about how much money we spend as a government,
mm-hmm.
if we just start to include more 8A, more small businesses, more Black-owned women businesses, we're going to create an environment in which people can really benefit off the largesse of the government. Because right now, it's not our people getting it.
How do we ensure that? How do we ensure that we don't get just looked over and, you know, a lot of times, even with the president, you say stuff now, and then when it gets down to it, it's like, oh, well, we just can't get it done at the time, you know, because this is a big thing. And a lot of our people are starting to get into real estate. They're starting to buy properties. They're starting to open small businesses. But, you know, like with the opportunity zones and a lot of other grants, but if we can't get a loan, we can't get a loan, you know, or right. If we don't know what we're doing, or we're having hard times, or we're getting hit with taxes. And then when you look at companies like a Google or Amazon, you know, and they don't pay taxes. So how do we make sure that our people can catch up?
You put people like me in charge. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, elections have consequences.
Correct.
So if you put the right people in place, it will get done. I don't expect the president to make sure that I'm doing my job every day. He has directed us what to do. I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to make sure that you have the right players in place to make it work. That's the only way you can guarantee it.
I want to ask him about the origin of HUD. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't HUD a response to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, HUD became an agency when we passed the Fair Housing Act in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of the civil rights movement,
mm-hmm.
as did all of those great society programs, whether it be education, housing. All of those came out of great society,
mm-hmm.
after the civil rights movement, after the Voting Rights Act was passed, Civil Rights Act. This was the next series of things to say, let's try to right the ship. We have been mistreating mm-hmm. Black people and poor people for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at a way to try to make it, to level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, absolutely right.
Okay.
Now, this is a really complicated time because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it directly affects, obviously, what you do for people when it comes to housing. We've seen so many people having to deal with rents going up and prices of homes going up. So what are some things that can be implemented? And I want you to also talk about the Build Back Better plan, which we're still struggling to see how we can get any of that passed.
Well, look, can I start there? I'm going to start with Build Back Better.
Mm-hmm.
In the Build Back Better Act, there is currently $150 billion set aside just to do housing. So of that amount, probably about 40 to 50 billion will just go to make public housing decent again. You know, we have disinvested in communities for far too long. About 20 years ago, HUD's budget was about 7% of the entire federal budget. Today it is 1%. So we have disinvested in our communities. We have stopped building housing, but in that plan, there's more than $100 million to do down payment assistance.
Mm-hmm.
There is what we call housing trust money to lower the cost. We are raising the cap on low-income housing tax credits. We are working on zoning. We're doing a lot of things to make it easier and less expensive to build, whether it be 3D printing, whether it be mm-hmm. tiny homes, whatever it is we are doing. And the other thing that we're doing and that we already have been doing is setting aside resources now to build up to 100,000 houses over the next few years. by working with state housing finance agencies, by creating home programs that are flexible. And lastly, I think that it is important, especially for us, as we talk about housing. Just in the last week, we did a point in time count, which is what we call it, about homelessness. People don't realize that about 40% of the homeless people in this country are Black. Mm-hmm. And that there is a growing number of them who are families with children and senior citizens. And so in the rescue plan, there is $10 billion to deal with housing just for homeless. So if you take the housing money for the homeless, if you take the resources we're putting in already in the budget, and then add on that Build Back Better, we can really make a dent in the lack of housing in this country. Low income housing and moderate income housing. There's a lot of other housing.
All right, when we come back, we have more with Marsha Fudge. She's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Marsha Fudge, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
I was going to say, you know, I would say in the last year and a half, I see more and more people being able to buy houses, right? Thousands of more people, especially Black people, able to get their low interest rates with the loans. And I know there's so many different grants that we've been helping people where it helps them with their down payment. My question to you is, right now interest rates are at an all-time low in the last year, right? Mm-hmm. Some people getting interest rates 2.5%, 2.7%. Yep. So now, and you know, it's a seller's market. People are selling houses for a high amount of money. But what happens when that changes, right? Because it has to change. Is it going to change, or you're planning for the change? Because interest rates, I heard that they might be shooting up. Those houses that people are buying for $300,000 that were really worth $100,000 a year ago, what happens to those people? Do they lose them like the last mortgage meltdown in, what, 2008? Does that happen to the people again? Because now you give them a house and they're happy for a year, but then when interest rates shoot up and the house is not worth what they think it's worth, what happens then? Then they lose their house again? Then it's kind of recycled?
No, because one of the things that we have been doing, especially as a result of the pandemic, is we know people are having difficulty with mortgages. So HUD has already put in place a program that will allow them up to 40 years to pay their mortgage. So it reduces their monthly rate. Mm-hmm. We give them a modification, is what we really do. We do a refi, mm-hmm. but we hold it. And we're the ones that say, okay, instead of paying the $600 you're paying, we're going to give you 10 more years on the back end of your mortgage. And so now maybe that's $400, and maybe you can afford that. Right. We're also talking
without raising the interest rates, though.
Correct. Okay. But see, the interest rates are going to, they're going to go up. There's no question about it. And so I say to people, this is the time to buy if you can. But the bigger problem is not so much the rates. It is the supply. It's just basic supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And so since there are so few homes that people can move into that they can afford, there's so much pressure on the market that until we start to build more housing, we're not going to see that stress relieved. Mm. It's more important to me. So that's why we're doing things like making sure that Black people, especially college educated people, can afford to buy a house, because their student loan debt has been such an impediment. Yeah. That we have now, for the most part, we have figured out how we can recalculate it and almost neutralized it. The second biggest issue is down payment. Most people can pay the mortgage. They don't have the down payment.
Closing costs, none of that.
That's right. So in the president's 2022 budget, there's $100 million for down payment assistance. It's significantly higher in Build Back Better, so that we can start to give people the kind of resources to get into the market now, if they can afford to get in it. Because the market is going to, I think you're going to see a little stress come off the market because we're putting more housing into the market, but it's going to take some time.
Where you think that act is ever going to pass?
Wait, one second. Where can people get that? You know, because you said, where can they apply to get those, that help and those benefits so they can put money down?
I will make sure I get all of it to you.
Okay.
Because not only do we have the neutralization of student loans, we've got, of course, the down payment assistance, but the other big problem is appraisers. The appraisal process is so unfair.
The appraisal is good in the white areas. Black, but they try to appraise us so much less.
And I'll tell you, this is a true story. I live two doors from an all-white community. Mm-hmm. I live in an all-Black community. Mm-hmm. My lot is bigger.
My house is bigger.
My house is valued at $25,000 less than the house two doors from me.
Which is crazy.
Because people think white ice is colder.
All the time. And so we have to be able to say that we have lost billions as a people solely through the appraisal process. We've got a report coming out from HUD in a few weeks that is going to show very, very clearly and shine a bright light on what has been happening in our communities. The other thing we know is that appraisers are 95% white men.
Facts.
And you can't get into it unless you can get one of them to help you get into it.
So it's bias from the jump.
Exactly right. And so we are doing all that we can to be sure that it happens. The president asked me to chair it. The report's going to come out in about 3 weeks. I think you'll be very pleased with what you see.
I was going to ask, do you think the Build Back Better Act will ever pass eventually? What do you think
is
going to happen?
I think parts of it will.
What about housing?
Well, I think it will pass. I don't know that it will pass at $150 billion, but I do believe that we'll get housing money out of it. I really, well, because you got to realize, whether you are on one side or the other, I don't care where you live, you cannot buy a decent house or rent a decent house in this country, no matter where it is, if you are a minimum wage worker.
Correct.
Everybody's dealing with the same situation. Just think about it. I was in Denver, where the median sales price of a house is $800,000. In Seattle, it's $1.5 million. Not just black people can't afford it. White people can't afford it either. And so we have to deal with it.
To everybody.
Exactly.
I encourage young black people, young professionals, to buy a two-family house or a three-family house, right? So that way their rent is being helped out by the apartment that they're renting out.
Sure.
A lot of them are telling me that now they're having a lot of problems with tenants not paying. And they're saying pretty much the state and the government is really for the tenant. So now that the tenant's not paying, they can't pay their mortgage, and they're having a lot of hard times with that. And tenants know that. So a lot of tenants are not paying because it's kind of like they're just getting through the system. So how do we make sure that we can help the tenants and the landlords? And these are not huge landlords that own 30,000 units. This is just a guy that owns a two-family home that's just trying to make ends meet.
Right. How do you take care of the tenant without neglecting the homeowner?
Mm-hmm.
The rescue plan and the COVID package before that put $46 billion into the market. For renters. That money doesn't go to renters. It goes to owners. It goes to landlords. And so what the landlords need to do is make their tenants or help their tenants apply for emergency rental assistance because they get the money. Mm-hmm. That's what the money is for.
The problem is, you know, you can't make a tenant do anything because half the time tenants won't even answer the door.
You can't, but what you can do
even get them out.
Is make sure that you tell them this is what is required of you. So that you can stay in this place.
Right. Don't they check and make sure that you actually applied for that assistance?
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember now, it's all going to change because most of the forbearance and moratoriums are ending.
I was going to ask, they said it would end when the pandemic is over, but we're still in the pandemic, right?
A lot of places it hasn't, because right now it's pretty much up to the states and local communities. And so a lot of them are ending it. So I would not suggest that you wait until the pandemic is over to pay your rent. That would not be a smart thing.
I was going to ask about that. Is there any help with that? Because a lot of times I'm seeing and I'm hearing people talk about that they didn't pay their rent and they're starting to get their jobs back. And now a lot of companies are saying, okay, well, you owe $23,000 and it has to be paid now. A lot of them are not giving them the option to put it on the back end. Is there any protection for those people?
There is, if they would just notify us or get in touch with HUD. If we have their mortgage, if we insure their mortgage, we can help them.
What about companies like Haven Park Communities, who are exploiting low-income renters by using funds from an agency whose original message is to make housing more accessible? How do we stop like the financialization that large private equity landlords like that are doing?
Well, if they have any resources from us, we can affect it.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to let us know. I mean, we can only do what we know to do.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't tell us what is going on, we never know what it is.
So we should snitch on those companies.
Absolutely right. Without
hotline.
As they say, quick, fast, and in a hurry. If you want to
see
stay
something,
there,
say something.
That's right.
What about state by state where leadership in certain states aren't using the money that's allocated for housing for what it's supposed to be for? Because like you said, a lot of those are up to the state.
If there is a problem in a state, they too, if there are a lot of landlords, see, landlords have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
If the landlords would notify us, we could be helpful. Because what we're doing now is we're taking resources from states that have not used them. So they basically have vouchers. We're taking those vouchers back and we are reallocating them to places that have been using them and have been using them effectively. So we can be helpful.
All right, when we come back, we have more with Marsha Fudge. She's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Marsha Fudge, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Yee.
You've been an elected official for decades, right? Yeah. Mayor and Congress, yeah. And now this position. And I do want to stress the importance of voting because there's a lot of people who are feeling discouraged, who feel like it doesn't matter who's in office and who feel like, well, it doesn't matter who I vote for. Nothing's getting done anyway.
Let me just say to those people who believe that, all they have to do is look at what we're doing. All they have to do is look at when Biden came in, checks in pocket, shots in arms. Look at how we dealt with child tax credit. We still have people, or just up until last month, who were getting $200 or $300 a month for every child they had. Let's look at the people who say that we can't do better by education. We have, over the last few months, literally erased the debt of almost 700,000 students, those who are permanently disabled. You know, those who went to these knockoff for-profit colleges. Tell them to look at what we do, not what we say, because there is a difference. If I'm not sitting here, you don't know what happens in this agency. But because I'm committed, because the president and the vice president are committed, it makes a difference. Don't ever believe that your vote doesn't count, because once you start doing that, then you've basically said, I'm going to take whatever you give me. I'm going to accept whatever you do. Fight for yourself. I mean, who doesn't fight for themselves?
Well, Ms. Fudge, I have to respectfully disagree with one thing you said. You said that, don't look at what we say. Look at what we do. Or when they campaign, they tell us all of these different things. So when you talk about criminal justice reform, voting rights, Build Back Better, George Floyd Policing Act, you know, if we haven't seen any advancement made on those issues.
Well, but now we have done an order on chokeholds.
On a federal level.
Right. But that's all we can do.
Yeah, federal police not out. They didn't kill George Floyd.
I know.
Or Eric Garner.
But I do say this. Maybe everything that has been promised has not come to fruition, but we still have 3 more years. That's the first thing. Secondly, the one thing I'll say about the president, his head and his heart are in the right place. There are some things he can do and some things he cannot do. But we are working every day to make sure that we address all the issues that he promised. And I think that we will get there. We won't get it all because we can't do it all on our own. We have to deal with Congress. We have to deal with the Senate. We have to deal with mayors and governors. But we will make most of those promises real. I have that much confidence and faith that we will.
Do you ever get frustrated, you know, when you see one or two people, the Joe Manchin, the Kyrsten Sinemas of the world, blocking this agenda? This agenda that we know will benefit black people greatly. Why do they have so much power to do that?
Well, in this environment, almost every senator has that much power if they decide to use it. They all have it. We have 50 votes. So anyone, Democrat, it doesn't have to be them, anyone
can cross the line.
Well, I'm disappointed, yes. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if you look at the number of judges that we've already gotten through, if you look at the number of black women that have already gotten through the confirmation process, if you look at the fact that I and many others have gotten through the confirmation process, it was because they voted for us. Mm-hmm. So there are some issues. I mean, you know the old saying, there are no permanent friends and no permanent enemies, just permanent interests.
That's right.
And so that's the same thing. And so there are some things they are really good on. And I think ultimately we're going to find a place where both of them can support what we bring forward with Build Back Better, with voting rights. It may not be what we want, but I do believe that we will make progress.
But you have to understand how that impacts, you know, voters who voted Democrat.
I agree.
When they see two Democrats blocking these agendas, whether it's voting rights, whether it's the George Floyd Policing Act, like these are things that people actually, these big tentpole items people went out there and actually voted for, getting blocked by Democrats. Right.
But I would also say that it's also blocked by 50 Republicans.
We expect them to, though.
No, we don't expect them to. You know, I just don't believe that we give them a pass. We are talking about the democracy of this country.
Mm-hmm. I expect them white people to do
that. I also felt like Democrats in West Virginia are probably different than Democrats in other places.
72% of the people in West Virginia believe that Manchin is doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's his base.
So we got to pick up seats other places.
We do.
And that's why you have to vote.
You gotta rely on two people. But you got to run the right people, though, because if somebody like President Biden or Vice President Harris, if they go out there and they stomp for the Manchins of the world and the Sinemas of the world, they're co-signing them. So you're telling me that's who I need to vote for. So if people vote for them and then they get into the Senate, then they block agendas, then what?
Well, but we stomp for a whole lot of other people, too. And so just think about it right now. Right now, we've got people all over the country who are running for Senate. I think you're right. We have to make the right choices, whatever those may be. Mm-hmm. But also, we as voters need to take the initiative to go out and vote. Because I'm going to tell you, if we vote, we win. And Georgia is a perfect example. You know, I mean, in other communities, I am a person that just believes that you vote for the best candidate, whoever that is.
Right.
And I think all of us need to think about it that way.
So I'm going to ask this question again, simple. Why should black people vote for Democrats this election cycle when nothing has been done to advance some of the most important issues to our community?
But see, I disagree that we haven't advanced important issues. I disagree with that premise. For the last year and a half, or almost 2 years, we have made sure that every homeowner could stay in their home. We've made sure that people didn't get evicted. We've made sure that we have reduced child poverty, especially in black communities, by more than 30%. We put $5 billion into HBCUs, and I could go on. Mm-hmm. It's not that we've done nothing. Right. We have done things. And so I don't think that it's fair. I don't think it's a fair assessment to say that we've not done anything. We've done a lot.
It's been 1 year. We still got 3 years left.
Thank you. Yeah, we've done a lot.
I agree, but there's a sense of urgency they always put on voters, and it's always vote like democracy depends on it, and the democracy is at stake, but I don't see them governing like that.
Well, there is an urgency, and I don't disagree with that, but we still work in an environment that is a bureaucracy, and so as much as we try to move it faster, it still takes time. But I do know that we all believe that there's an urgency. And that's why...
Time is of the essence. It's January.
It is. Listen. I think that things will become clearer in terms of what the administration has done sooner than you think. I think it takes time. People are so busy doing things, they forget to tell you what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a problem with most administrations. They're so busy trying to get it done that they don't stop to let you know they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting better. But I don't disagree with you at all. Mm-hmm. I think that we do need to have some urgency. And we do need to say to people what's going on. And we do need to help people. I don't disagree.
You know, another campaign promise, the student debt. Should President Biden cancel student debt like many in Congress are asking him to do? And how regular people are asking him to do?
Well, I think that the president said that if the Congress sends him a bill, he'll do it. And I think he should, if they send it. I mean, I just think that there are just some things that we want to happen. But mind you, I'm going to go back again. We have erased student debt for 630,000 people.
But he made a promise for, what, 10,000?
10,000.
For every student?
Yes.
That was in debt? Yeah. And that just kind of went away.
Well, it didn't go away. His philosophy is that Congress has to send him the legislation. And if they do, he will sign it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been his position. I don't know that it's changed.
So how do people push on those issues?
Now, that's the question. Mm-hmm. That's the good question.
Mm-hmm.
You call your congresspeople.
Mm-hmm.
You call your senators. You call your congresspeople and tell them, we want this legislation. One thing about elected officials, we all answer to the people,
Yeah. Especially
in an election year.
What's your cell phone number?
I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my cell phone number. I'm not going to put it on here, but I'm going to give it to you. Before I leave this room, I'm going to give you my cell phone number.
Marsha Fudge, don't forget, you got to give us the information so people can get
I will make
help.
Sure that we
give
do.
Us that information.
I will so make sure we do.
I do have one more question. Do you believe that black people are owed reparations and that government programs designed to restore what was lost could be a part of some type of reparations package?
I think it depends on what you mean by reparations. Do I think black people are owed some kind of compensation of in some way, shape, or form? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, though. I don't know if it's 40 acres and a mule. I don't know if it's a check. I don't know what that is. But do I believe that we should be compensated for our labor to build this country?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our slave labor, our prison labor, you know, our military labor. Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Marsha Fudge, we thank you for coming and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been
Hopefully
my pleasure.
Back.
Yes, come
my
back.
Pleasure.
Please, because I mean,
pleasure.
Seriously, somebody has to message what's happening and what's going on
to the
people. Because, like we said, Democrats are terrible.
And people need to know about resources available to them. I think that's one of the most important takeaways, too.
And there are a lot more than people know.
Mm-hmm. And what's the hotline number or the TikTok page? Something that people can reach out to.
You just go to HUD.gov, but okay. I'll make sure that I give you.
Please.
I'm going to give you and you and you my cell phone.
Okay.
So y'all can call me. I'll tell you, I'm the face. Uh-huh. I'll take it. You
She's
know.
Like, I'm not in Congress anymore. But.
Thank you.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, y'all work people over.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let me shout out to Corey. Corey works at the skate park where I was getting my, I had my wife's surprise birthday party. And I actually took a couple of secret lessons so I could actually...
What the hell is a secret lesson?
Well, it was a surprise party, but what I did was I went a couple of days before and just took some private lessons so I can...
What did Corey teach you?
how to skate, bro. He taught me how to skate.
What?
That's all he taught me was how to skate.
What is wrong? Why are you so defensive?
How to skate backwards.
Ooh.
I hate you, man. I hate playing with you, man. Let's get to the rumors, man.
What size skates does Corey wear?
I don't know.
She's spilling the tea.
Sorry, Corey.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
He was over there skating, though, Emmy. That's a nice surprise.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good time.
Somebody said you look like a limber deer or something like that.
And I did look like Bambi a little bit deer at times, but we got it together.
All right, now let's talk about Nicki Minaj. She's been doing a whole lot of press lately. And one interview with the Dana Cortex show, she was talking about motherhood and how it's made her less explicit.
And he asked me to get on his song, Power. And no lie, I sat with the song for months and months and couldn't bring myself to write to the record. With, you know, it was like the moaning and the groaning on the track. Mm-hmm. And I knew, to me, I feel like you either gonna do it or don't do it. So I knew in order to get on a track like that, I would have to be explicit. In my opinion, I would have to really kill it and be explicit and you know, talk that real talk. And I wasn't ready. I just wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So that's just to tell you how being a mom has changed.
Totally understand.
Who did that interview?
And that was for Gunna's. That was for Gunna's P Power show. P Power song.
That was Dana Cortez. Drop on the clues bombs with Dana Cortez.
Shout out Dana Cortez.
What up, Dana? But no, she's absolutely right. I mean, you know, fatherhood, motherhood, it changes you. And you got kids, especially when your kids are older, and you don't know what they're hearing or if they're listening to you or what. Like, yeah.
But she just said for that moment, so she might, you know, she might do something differently in you know, next week, or she might do something differently in a month. But right now, that's how she feels. Don't she have a song coming out tomorrow? Or something
with Little Baby.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear that. I'm excited about that.
That's the one that she's been teasing and posting footage from, and the two of them on set together. So she also revealed, you know, in another interview in LA, she said she is going to do more of her Queen radio show. And so she has signed on the dotted line to continue that. That is going to be happening.
Who's she interviewed with in LA? Do we know?
It was on Power 106.
Oh, probably Letty. Probably Letty and Teddy. Salute to Letty and Teddy.
Yeah, so, yeah, it doesn't say here which one it was. But she was on there, and she also talked about being more competitive and working with Lil Wayne. And another thing that she discussed is that Kanye song that still hasn't come out. So she was disappointed about that, but she said that there's no sour feelings. It is what it is. Sometimes stuff like that happens in our world. She did another interview on The Morning Hustle where she actually talked about the City Girls and the fact that they previously said that they don't like her. So that's why she hasn't hopped on any songs of theirs.
A few years ago, I saw a video of them and I was thinking about jumping on a record, one of their records that was out at that time. And then I get something that says, yo, she don't really f- with you like that. She was saying this and she don't really like you. And she said she hopes you actually, you know, never pop or never flourish and da da da.
So it's hard to let that go.
It's let go, but it's about, why would I work with somebody that doesn't like me?
Right.
Totally understandable, right? Keep that same energy.
Yes.
If you didn't like me before. And then not like we can't work things out and probably work together in the future, but I don't really know you like that. We haven't talked about this past stuff first.
Correct.
Let's talk about this first.
And motherhood has changed Nicki, because old Nicki would have been like, F that, I'm never working with you. But the fact that she could take that call and they can have a conversation, that's great. That's evolution.
Well, what happened was, after that interview, they did set aside what happened in the past. And Nicki said, just had a great convo with JT and Young Miami. Let's move on and make new memories, y'all. And so Young Miami reposted it and said, Queen Tings. And JT said, sad sister, thank you for your time, your advice. A true queen, love you.
That's how it should be. And you know what's so funny about social media? There is a lot of that, though. Because, you know, we've all been on social media for years and years and years and years. So there might have been times somebody spoke ill of you or said something negative about you. But then, you know, they got to cross that bridge, which is you in the future. And they try to act like you didn't see that. You know, I saw that. Let's have a conversation about that and see where you stand with me now.
And I see everything.
Hey, man, be aware of everything. Acknowledge nothing. That's what I was always taught.
I see everything.
And drop on the clues bombs for Head Crack and L'Oreal. The Morning Hustle. for that.
I see everything.
I see everything.
Be aware of everything. Stop it. Acknowledge nothing. until it's time to be acknowledged. That's all.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne, who are you giving your donkey to?
You know, man, there's certain institutions that we have to respect as a community. And Golden Corral is one of those for me. So we'll talk about it for after that.
You giving Golden Corral donkey?
I am not giving Golden Corral donkey today. Okay. And somebody bring me a lighter, please. I'm in here trying to light goddamn my Palo Santo with matches, and I feel like a damn fool. I done burnt my finger twice. Somebody, please buy me a lighter. My lighter went dead. Please.
All right.
Please.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our audible pick of the day is The Perfect Day to Boss Up. This is Rick Ross's guide to building your own empire. Now listen up. Your first 30 days of Audible are free when you sign up at audible.com/breakfastclub.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Charlamagne, say the game, donkey of the day.
Charlamagne.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the hee-haw.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, February 3rd, goes to the over 40 people who got to scrapping in a Golden Corral last Friday in Bensalem. That's how you pronounce it, Eddie? Bensalem? Bensalem. Bensalem is right outside of Philadelphia. First things first, though, drop on the clues bombs for Golden Corral. Okay? Mm-hmm. I was talking to our producer, Taylor this morning. She's one of our producers. She's from Philly. I believe she was involved in this situation. I was watching the video.
What?
Listen, I was watching the video and I really think I saw her. And when I asked her about it, she didn't deny being there. She just tried to throw me off by saying, I don't like Golden Corral. You a damn lie. First of all, women from Philly love buffets. Okay, love them. All right. Second of all, how can you not love Golden Corral? Drop another Clues bomb for Golden Corral. It's people listening to me right now headed to Golden Corral for that buffet breakfast, okay? Might be the best buffet breakfast in the business as far as chain restaurants are concerned, okay? I'm 43 years old. I done ate at them all, baby, all right? Some of them don't even exist no more. From Ryan's, the Shoney's, the Western Sizzlin', the Sizzler's, Old Country Buffet, all slapped.
Oh, Old Country Buffet.
Come on now. Oh, come man. On now.
Sizzler, there's no more Sizzler?
I don't know.
Oh, damn.
But they all slapped at one point or another, but none of them touching Golden Corral, okay? Right now, Golden Corral Omelet Station still slaps. All right, the waffles, the cinnamon rolls, the biscuits, the pancakes, the French toast, the grilled corned beef hash. Nigga, what is you talking about? Okay? Assorted yogurts, donuts. Mm. It's an elderly couple headed to Golden Corral right now hearing me talk, and they saying, right on! Okay? Mm. They got what you want at Golden Corral. From healthy to, man, I'm high as hell. How much meatloaf and mashed potatoes can I eat? Okay? My fat ass done jumped to dinner. All right. You know I'm trans fat. I'm about 178 pounds right now, but I identify as someone on my 600-pound life. But let me stick to the story. There was a fight, okay, at Golden Corral. A fight. An all-out brawl. I'm talking about 40 people. It really looked like the Royal Rumble in there. Chairs were flying, big bodies banging into each other. I swear I saw Mark Henry going head up with Rikishi and Golden Corral in this video. Vince McMahon would be proud. But what would make a brawl of 40 people break out at a Golden Corral? You probably already know the answer. Let's go to CBS 3 News for the report, please.
Well, I talked to a man who posted that video online. He says he was told that fight broke out after the buffet here ran out of steak. Video shared with Eyewitness News shows punches being thrown and high chairs flying as a fight breaks out inside the Golden Corral in Bensalem Friday evening. Mm. Bensalem police confirm the brawl may have involved more than 40 people and happened following an argument among some customers. This man, who used to work at the Bensalem Golden Corral, says he was told by a current employee about the initial altercation.
From what I heard, it was over steak. Apparently somebody cut in line.
His friend heard the same details.
There was a shortage of steak.
Take a close listen, and a man can be heard saying, all I wanted was some steak.
All he wanted was some steak!
All he wanted was some steak, man! That's all he wanted! Listen!
All he wanted was some steak!
Listen, we got more eyewitnesses. Alexis Rios was an eyewitness. He was on the line. Go, 6ABC News.
Alexis Rios says it started over a misunderstanding regarding a piece of steak.
Come on,
Rios
man.
Says the person in front of him became angry with the cook because Rios received his steak first.
He's trying to understand what you want. He's trying to give you what you want. I had a rare steak, which is a lot faster to cook than a well-done steak.
Very
That's
logical.
Why I got my steak first.
Next thing you know, he says, that misunderstanding erupted into an all-out brawl.
Mm. I grabbed a chair to defend myself, and then sooner or later, that was it. Punches were getting thrown, chairs were getting thrown. You name it, you can call it cups, glasses, everything. You name it.
These folks got to fighting because the buffet ran out of steak. Now, let me tell y'all something. This isn't no Golden Corral commercial. I don't know anyone who works there. This is something I'm saying out of the goodness of my heart and the fatness of my thoughts. There might not have been no steak left, but I can't sit here and say I go to Golden Corral for the steak. There's a lot of other proteins in that dinner buffet that I thoroughly enjoy. Number one on that list, I mentioned it before, that tasty earth meatloaf. Okay, with some mashed potatoes and corn, now we eating, okay? There might not have been no steak left, but what about those golden fried shrimps? Huh? Come on now, y'all fighting over one protein at a buffet? A buffet? Golden Corral, there's unlimited options for everybody. They got Bourbon Street chicken. They got fried chicken. They got fried fish, baked fish, pot roast. They got carved bone-in turkey. My nigga, they got pot pies. Golden Corral has pot pies, all right? There's too much there for y'all to choose from for y'all to be fighting over steaks. See, the problem is y'all didn't eat enough yeast rolls before you went to work on the buffet. You have to eat at least one, no more than two yeast rolls at the buffet and drink it with a glass of water, because when you eat the yeast roll and drink the water, it expands in your stomach and keeps things like steak shortages from ruining your experience, okay? It keeps things like that from happening, because when your stomach is full, okay, you won't eat as much. Now, I know y'all might think I'm joking 95% of the time, Okay, but you have to understand what places like Golden Corral mean to some individuals. Right now, I feel pure innocence thinking of Golden Corral. It makes me feel warm inside because those are moments I remember as a child with my family. Okay, Golden Corral offers a sense of comfort, a sense of peace that I don't want to see disturbed by a group of individuals fighting over steak. I heard pain in that man's voice during that fight. Listen, man.
All he wanted was some steak.
All he wanted was some steak. Okay? Play it one more time, Red.
All he wanted was some steak.
You know what I heard? When he said that, I heard all my life I had to fight. Okay? That is a brother that is tired, exhausted, life kicking his monkey ass, and all he wanted was some steak.
All he wanted was some steak.
And yet he comes to this place of comfort called Golden Corral and ends up in a buffet-fueled brawl. For what? For what?
All he wanted was some steak.
He didn't even get the opportunity to get to the soft serve. Okay? We ain't even talk about the soft serve. The ice cream cones with the vanilla and chocolate soft serve. Okay, they got all kind of candy toppings and hot fudge. Oh my God, man. The carrot cake, the assortment of cookies, the cupcakes, the banana pudding, the fudge brownies. Man, stop playing with Golden Corral and stop playing in Golden Corral. Okay, learn the rules next time or stay your ass home. When you get there, eat a damn yeast roll. Okay, depending on your size, eat 3 or 4. Drink some water, okay, so you don't eat up all the food, all right? And every Golden Corral vet knows the point of the buffet is variety, okay? Assortments. You don't go eating up, okay, one thing. You try everything to save something for the next man, all right? The reality is they probably didn't have no steak because beef is in short supply in a lot of places, okay? Supply chain disruptions are real. But the moral of the story is this. You know who's going through a lot right now? Literally everybody. So just be kind. Please give those 40 folks who got the banging in the Golden Corral the biggest hee-haw. And I got a feeling Taylor was there.
Hmm. You want to play a game?
Nope. Sure don't.
You want to play a game?
Nope. I really don't.
I'm just glad you said they ain't fight over chicken. That's what I thought you were going
to
go with.
You want everything to be about us.
Do you want to play a game?
Taylor, since you were there, what race were they?
Guess what race they are! Taylor, go!
I really don't know what race they was. I really did see Mark Henry fighting Rikishi, so I don't know what race was.
They were white.
All of them?
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Wow.
I don't think Alexis Rios was white. I seen some things in there. I think it was a variety. It was a buffet of people, an assortment of people, Taylor. Okay?
But who? I don't go there for the steak, though. You know, I don't want steak food.
It's too much of a buffet there, man. It's too much of an assortment.
The chicken.
The meatloaf, bro.
I eat pork, so I go to ham.
Oh, they got a...
I will say, though, if you run out of steak and you pay all that money for a buffet, that's not fair.
And then you go to, like, Old Country Buffet where they got the seafood and the crab legs. Now, I would fight over the crab legs. Sometimes they try to play you like there's no more crab legs.
And then
I came here for the crab
legs. Imagine you see some greedy people taking the last and they take a whole bunch of it in front of you and now they done ran out.
But they got a bunch more in the back. That's why you don't go to a buffet and focus on one thing. It's a buffet for a reason. It's a variety. You try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. Get your fat ass out of the way and stop trying to eat all in one protein.
My grandmother used to have like a big pocketbook to bring some home. I know.
I love it.
Shout out, Grandma. Rest in peace, Mama. All right. Ask you
next. Salute to Golden Corral.
800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice or any type of advice. Call ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you wanna know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Ye. 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep the bread.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Samantha.
Hey, Samantha. What's your question for Ye?
Hey, so I've been engaged to my fiance. We've been together for about now. Marriage is not like a big thing to me. And like, I thought we were on the same page when he proposed last year for my birthday. And I haven't made any wedding plans, and I'm thinking it maybe because I want some more money first, but I was speaking to my friend, and she said that she thinks it's, like, not a good excuse to not, you know, start my wedding plans. I just wanted, like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, it's up to you guys to decide, not up to your friends or anybody else. You guys have been together, and he proposed, you accepted. Now it's up to the two of you to discuss when you want to get married. It's still a pandemic going on, and so I can understand why there's other things on people's minds right now. Everything is kind of uncertain, so maybe you want to wait until you feel safe enough to really plan a date, and it is a big financial responsibility. Have you guys decided, like, what type of wedding you want to have, where you want to have it, anything yet?
No, most of our family is in Jamaica. The truth is, like, honestly, everybody in my family that were married just ended up in really bad separations, like really horrible. And I feel like we've been so good. We've been committed to each other. We've been really happy. We have two kids together. And what if we get married and, like, it goes wrong? And, like, I don't know. That's in the back of my head as well. I love him. I want to be with him. But, you know, I'm just really happy with him right now. It's so perfect. Honestly, mm-hmm. He's good to me. He's, like, the best dad. I'm 100% committed to him. I also don't want to, like, go the wedding dress that I want. I don't want to hear, oh, I can't afford that right now and get a second choice. Like, I just want everything to be great. I'm thinking I should just wait. But he's also open to doing, like, a small wedding and then, like, mm-hmm. do a bigger one after. But I don't know how I feel about two weddings. I don't know.
It feels like the two of you need to sit down and do a list of pros and cons for everything to come up with this together. Have y'all sat down together just to say, okay, let's hash this out and figure out how we want to move forward? Do we want to do two weddings? Do we want to just make one big one? Do we want to wait and let's see what happens by October to see what next year is looking like, you know, and let's start saving our money. Let's figure this out. Have y'all sat down and discussed that with each other away from everybody else and no noise from anyone else?
No, we honestly haven't even done that. We haven't even figured out if we wanted the wedding to be in our home country, Jamaica, or here in America. We you're right. Maybe I do need to see where his head is at with the whole thing.
And when y'all sit down, do some research too. Figure out how much is it going to cost, right? What is most cost effective if you go to Jamaica? You know, people don't have to fly because most of your family is there. So that makes sense for them. But for you financially, does that make sense? Because remember, this is your wedding for both of you. So you guys have to do what's best for both of you. This is not for everybody else. And let me tell you something. This could be amazing when you see how excited the kids are going to be and the celebration. Right now, I understand that you're nervous because things are so great between you and you feel like, well, this changed the dynamic of our relationship. Everything in life is a risk. And so I just feel like if everything is perfect, it could elevate y'all to the next level and you got to go for things.
Thank you so much. I love you guys so much. Anjali, I love you so much. Like, I look for you for everything. I'm a Capricorn too, and you're just so amazing.
Hey.
And you say,
oh, I love you too.
You know, I love you, Charlamagne. I love you. Oh my God, you guys are so great.
Love you more.
I listen to you every day. For years and years, I tried. Oh my God, this is so great. I can't believe I got you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And congrats on your wedding, upcoming
Thank
wedding,
you.
Whenever it is.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye now. All right.
Bye.
Askie.
Okay, then you want to hang up.
Askie, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call her right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'm gonna
keep it real with you. Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on, bro? I don't really want to give my name because, you feel me, but I need some advice, bro.
Okay, what's up?
All right, so look, I got this high school sweetheart, right? I'm 26 right now. But, like, you know, I knew her since, like, 2012, and, like, she's been married for, like, 5 years now, you feel me? And we've been together on and off like that, even though she's been married. And like just about a week ago, you feel me? Like, cause like if she's telling me like I'm her world and this and that, and I'm already accepting you with your man, like you know I shouldn't even be doing that. I feel like you shouldn't really be. I shouldn't have a reason to feel like you hiding something from me, right? So, you know, I told her that, and then you know she just played off my feelings like it was nothing. So I told her to kick rocks and. It's been about a week, so my advice is, like, what I'm trying to get at is, like, I feel like I'm weak in the mind because I feel like if she comes back calling, I don't know what to do. If I should just, like, you know, because, you know, like, I don't want something that's washed, like, not washed up, but, like I don't want something that I feel like is already used. You feel me? Like,
well, first of all, you don't want to be a side piece is what you're saying. It ain't that she's washed up or used. It's just that she's married.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to, like, feel like, and I don't want to be, like, I don't want to be an excuse to, as if her relationship don't work out. I'm the reason, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, so don't be. It feels like you know all the things that you don't want to do, so why don't you follow your mind?
But I'm in love with her. Like, she's like a flower.
Okay, there you go. But here's a couple of things here. Have you been seeing anybody else, or are you just waiting on her?
I mean, like, I feel like I don't really put myself out there, you feel me? Like, I feel like that's why I'm so caught up on her.
You think you would ever trust her? She's cheating on her husband with you all this time.
I feel like the trust that she just came into place now. I feel like I don't think her being married was ever an issue. I just feel like the person she just turned into is not the person that I knew. You feel me?
Right. And sometimes we get competitive too. It's like, because I don't understand why her being married is not an issue to you.
It's not that it's not an issue for me, because it is. Because at the end of the day, I want her to be mine. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, what I meant by that is, like, I wasn't trying to force anything. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to say, like, oh, you got to leave him for you to be with me. No, it was just like, okay, I understand that you got that going on, but at the end of the day, if you came back, it was for a reason, you know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't like for example, like, when we're together, we don't argue at all, you know what I'm saying? It's just something, like, over the phone. Like, the thing is, I'm like a caveman. Like, I don't really like texting, because, like, you know, what are we going to be texting about?
Yeah, and first of all, that's probably why she likes you. She can come to you, not have to worry about arguing. You're okay with her being married. It's pretty easy for her.
Yeah, that's what she be telling me that. But the thing is, it's like, why are you with him? Like, you're a grown woman. Like, you know, you should be able to make a decision.
Why are you? But you're saying that you don't mind that she's married.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. If not, like, it's the fact that I just feel like she's just so, like. Let me just say
she's doing what you're allowing her to do. You're like her little safety space, her haven. Things are crazy at home. Let me go to this guy that's always going to be there for me, that don't argue with me, that knows my situation. It's easy for her, and you're making it easy for her. And then you're also not moving on with your life. Why don't you think better of yourself? She ain't ish.
That's fact. But it's like,
if she really cared about you, she wouldn't have you in this situation. She's not leaving her man. You don't even want her to. You're not trying to make her make a decision, be with him or be with me.
I mean, yeah, I wasn't forcing any type of, like, decision on her. It's just like, if you telling me all this, telling me, like, oh, at home, you're not like this with him, you're not like that, why are you with him?
When I'm alone in my room, you need love, bro.
Yeah,
and
bro,
listen, people get killed over that, okay? She's married. People
that's
get killed over that.
Like, I don't move like that. Like, that's you know what I'm saying? Like, not using my head, because it's like, just, you feel me? I was young, like, but it's just crazy, because it's like when you know what I'm saying? Like, when you just get
to, bro, you get, you need better for yourself, bro. You got to get better for yourself, bro. You can't be the side door all the time. You can't be sneaking in and out the back door, bro.
Nah, make a better decision. You know what it is. Now move forward. All you can do is take the information you have, the facts, the reality, and make your decision from there. That's on you. Anything that happens from that, that's your fault.
This guy fell in love.
He did.
I can't believe you, bro. I am disappointed. This guy fell in love.
Yo, sometimes you fall in love.
You did. You fell in love, but you gotta let it go, bro.
You knew what it was. You knew what the situation was. You wasn't supposed to fall in love, bro.
You know what I'm saying? It's just hard like that. But I understand now that, you know, as much as I wanted it.
That's right. You got the assignment all the way wrong, bro.
Goodbye, bro.
You know what I'm saying? As much as I wanted, I gotta let go. But it's
you in love.
Hey, shut up. I don't hear no love song and you just to jump off.
When I'm alone in my room.
That word is born and ball. And in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call. Telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I think I need love. Yeah, you need it. But guess what? She already got it. She's getting it from her husband. All right? The hell goodness is wrong with gracious. You, man? Man up, bro.
He really needed somebody to talk to. So there you have it.
Yes, God bro. Damn.
Y'all man. Be going through it, too. Y'all be going through it, too, just not, like we do.
Not with no side.
Yeah, he fell in love.
Like, come on, yes, yo.
Clearly, every men go through the same thing women go through.
And that's a damn shame. And he just needs somebody to tell him, bro, you know that woman had a husband, a whole husband
you
before she got
in
with
the
you.
Crib? Like, come on, you're doing
sit
too
your
much
silly
now.
Ass you down, man.
All right, we got rumors on the way.
Out here sleeping with that man's wife.
Hit babe wife.
All right, well, let's talk about threesomes.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Nick Cannon talked to Hip Hop DX, and he was talking about his R&B mixtape, Raw and B, the explicit tape. And he said, music has always been an outlet for me, and that's something I've always really honestly kept private because my public persona was always a nice, happy-go-lucky, always positive guy. So music has always been a place of therapy for me. And people don't know I was a trained musician and been playing instruments since I was a kid. And he said he comes from the church. So even his rap career when he was young was very bubblegummy. So he always dreamed of being more than just a performer, but a businessman. Man, he envied the Pharrells, the Kanyes. He said he always wanted to be a producer first. That was his dream. He started DJing and doing things like that at parties when he was a kid. So now his dream was to be the next Jermaine Dupri, the next P. Diddy when he was a kid. He has the Raw and B explicit tape, and there's a track list for that out now. It features Chris Brown, Jacquees, Brandy's on the tape. So are y'all ready for that?
Nick, you a funny guy. Raw and B. Keyword raw. That's why you got so many goddamn babies. Put a condom on. And did you say we're ready for that?
Well, yeah, you ready to hear Raw and B?
No. I'll never be ready to hear Nick Cannon's music. I love Nick. Nick is a great brother, a great human. But when it comes to his music, I would never be ready to hear him. Ever.
Damn.
Will I listen?
All right.
Sure. If I'm trapped in a room and it's playing, yes.
My goodness.
All right. And AJ Johnson was on Lip Service. As you know, AJ Johnson has her show on TV One that's available right now if you want to watch Life Therapy. But she also had the AJ Zone. You guys know her from House Party and all of that. Well, recently she talked about celebrating her 50th birthday by having a threesome with two men. Here's what she said. But do you think we'll ever come to a place in society where it'd be like right. A threesome is two men and a woman, and they'll be okay with that?
Let me pick the gun. That.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
two
and
men?
Two men. Mm-hmm. And they traded off. It was like they were friends, mm-hmm. and they traded off. It's the best 50th birthday ever. They were flip-flopping me. You know, one would please me, then he'd pass me to the other, and one would kiss me, and then he'd spin me around for the other.
Yeah.
It was like
powerful?
A beautiful dance. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It was like doing a salsa with two guys at the same time.
So they were friends with each other?
They were friends.
Okay.
Her what birthday?
50th.
Damn. Well,
this is a few years ago.
Oh, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's her prerogative. She's a grown-ass woman.
You going to try it when you're 50?
Mm-hmm.
What you mean? Try what when I'm 50?
Threesome.
A threesome?
Nah. I'm cool on that. I mean, I don't know. I can't sit there and say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what could happen when I'm 50.
What kind of guy are you into?
Man, shut up.
Go ahead, you.
But, you know, that's a question. That's something I'll be having to talk about with my wife, right? I don't think I. No, I'm not having no goddamn threesome at 50. That's 7 years from now. That ain't happening. I'm a happily married man.
All right.
Well, you know, her threesome was with two men. So some people were saying that was a train. I saw in the comments, but it's not. A threesome is three people, period.
It's all about perspective. To the two guys, it might be a train. To her, it's a threesome. To her, she might have just been smutting them two dudes out. And by the way, we don't know what she had them two dudes doing. So they might need to shut up talking about it.
She
was
said
a train.
They didn't do anything with each other, but she said it was like a beautiful dance. And so the way she described it. All right. Now, Spike Lee is directing a multi-part ESPN documentary on Colin Kaepernick. And that's going to focus on his life and career, according to Variety. Now, they said Kaepernick has never given a full first-person account of his journey. He's collaborating closely with Spike Lee, who plans to use extensive new interviews and a vast, never-before-seen archive to help Kaepernick tell his story from his perspective. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Definitely going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jemele Hill. Right. Jemele Hill is a producer on that as well, I think.
Okay. Well, that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jemele is attached as a producer for it. And so they already have started production on that. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, let's get to the mix, the People's Choice Mix, 800-585-1051. Get your request in right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Now, this is Powerfully Good. Tonight on ABC, two new specials that, honestly, I can't wait to watch. The first is about the rise of black actresses in Hollywood, going from being powerless to being power brokers. Halle Berry and other incredible black actresses like Tessa Thompson are holding nothing back and going there in this special. Then it's the first interview with Muhammad Aziz since he was exonerated in the assassination of Malcolm X. Talk about a history-making special. Watch tonight starting at 8 p.m. 7 Central on ABC.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now it's Black History Month. Charlamagne, what we doing?
Well, you know, every day on the Black Effect Podcast Network for Black History Month, we drop a podcast called I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either. And it's interesting finds and little known facts you may not have known, you know, about Black history and just racism in this country. And it's hosted by my guy, B Dot. And today we have a new one titled True Tales About Alligator Bait.
B Dot, how could the gator chomp possibly be racist? Well, I'm going to tell you. In the late 1820s, alligators, big business.
Big business.
Because they made wallets out of them, made belts out of them, purses out of them. But it was very difficult for them good white folk to catch them gators without losing their arms and their legs.
So what did the innovative white people of that time period think to do?
Why, willikers, we'll just throw black babies in the water.
That'll show them.
And that's what they did. They would grab those black infants and toss them in the water.
And here comes the alligator. Alligator bait. Look it up. I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either. I didn't know.
One thing B-Dot didn't mention is that the Florida Gators, the University of Florida, they actually banned their popular gator bait cheer because of the racist history attached to it. Back in 2020, University of Florida President Kent Fooch, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, he announced that due to the horrific racist imagery associated with the phrase gator bait, that it would be banned at sporting events, and the gator band and university athletics would also stop using it as well. Hey, I didn't know that. Maybe you didn't either, but now you know. And knowing is half the black ass battle. Make sure you download I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either on the Black Effect iHeartRadio Podcast Network, available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, positive note coming up next. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. I want to shout out to everybody that came out yesterday. I had a surprise birthday party for my wife at Roller Rink in Newark. It's called Branch Brook Park Roller Skating Center.
Branch Brook?
Yeah, Branch Brook Park Roller Skating Center of Newark, New Jersey. I had an amazing time. Shout out to everybody out in Newark, man. We just had a great time out there. I want to shout to the whole facility. It's definitely a dope spot if you want to get your kids into roller skating. I know there's not too many rinks around. It's clean. It's safe. It's just a beautiful spot. Probably one of the best spots in this area. I know in Atlanta they have a bunch of roller skating rinks. I know in Detroit they have a couple, but I just had a great time there. So shout to them.
Yes, and I just want to let y'all know that the 2022 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards, which is the best of the best podcast of the year, is going to be on tonight at 9 p.m. on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook channels. You can check out all the categories and nominees now at iHeartRadio.com/podcast awards. So see if your favorite podcast is on there. We cannot wait to see who wins Podcast of the Year. Again, that show is tonight at 9 p.m. on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook channel.
All right, and also shout to Marsha Fudge for joining us this morning. She's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
That's right. You can go watch that full conversation on Breakfast Club's YouTube channel, which I never know the name of. But we got 5 million subscribers. Breakfast Club Online.
Breakfast Club. I don't know.
A lot of valuable information on there, though, for people who are having any type of struggles when it comes to housing, or maybe some people who want to buy their home for the first time. Find out how the government can and should help you.
Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. And also keep in mind, man, I told y'all all throughout Black History Month, I'm just going to be giving stuff away, man. I got so much stuff up here. So, you know, whether it's Black Effect, Michelin-esque snapbacks, or, you know, books from Black Privilege Publishing, Anita Kopacz, Shallow Waters of Tamika Mallory, State of Emergency, How to Win in the Country We Built, or the good homie, Dr. Rita Walker, you know, it's just a book that I love, The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health. Y'all can get all of that. So feel free to call up here while we're on, and, you know, ask me to send you something and we'll get you something out, okay? Okay. Now, the positive note is simply this. You know who's going through a lot right now? I said this during Donkey of the Day, but I want to repeat it. You know who's going through a lot right now? Literally everyone. So just be kind.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.